the Anointed One, the One who is the light of our world. How good it is to gather together today. A lot of people have been seeming a little disappointed that I'm in worship today. They were expecting, we're all excited to have JoJo Coffin Langdon preach today. I think people were thinking, I wasn't going to be here, and they're like, why are you here, Sarah? So I'm here. I'm here because I want to support JoJo, to let you know that JoJo is our campus minister. United Campus Ministry is a ministry at UMD, and it is one of several ministries at UMD, but also one of the only few that are totally inclusive and accepting of every student, wherever they are in their journey of life. I support JoJo and her ministry at UMD with my whole heart, and so I'm so honored to be able to stand with her today. And I think that it will be a joy for all of us to be able to hear her preach and hear her witness today. So we have the great joy of having JoJo here, but also today we celebrate and remember our baptisms. This is the season of Epiphany, and today is the day where we remember the baptism of Jesus. And we will talk about baptism today. As we remember our baptisms, we will gather together in our common baptism, remembering that there is one baptism, one Lord, one faith, and one ministry in which we are all united. And so as the united body of Christ, we gather for worship today. I invite you to call yourself, to call one another to worship today. There are words printed in our bulletin, and we can share them together. And I will read the not bold parts, because perhaps today of all days, beloved, you are the bold. We will call one another to worship using these words. We have come to worship God, who makes streams flow from rock, who turns the parched earth into springs of water, who sends the rain from heaven and makes the wilderness blossom and flourish.
Oh,
baptism, and I love, I cannot help but feel like we are, I'm standing in the river on this blue carpet. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who thinks this way, but feels like I'm at the River Jordan right now, especially when we sing, that beautiful hymn. And we remember Jesus' baptism today. And for me, as we continue in a spirit of prayer, the power, the reminder, the part that I love, that makes me say that I love Jesus so much, is to remember that Jesus got in line. John and the baptizers were gathering at the Jordan River to baptize people, to wash away their sins, to restore them, to realign them, to remind them of who they are and whose they are. And they did this outside, out in the wilderness, far away from the church, from the temple, from the institution. They just simply gathered at the water, and they baptized one another and felt the Holy Spirit move among them. And people, the ones who did not fit in, the ones who felt like they did not have a place in the church, in the institution, in the temple, in the system that ruled, the people gathered, and Jesus got in line with them. Jesus stood in line with the sinners. Jesus stood in line with people like you and me, waiting to be baptized, waiting to be reminded, waiting to be empowered. And maybe we can remember that today, and maybe we can then feel the presence of Jesus standing in line with us. And remembering, whose line are we standing in anyway? Where are you lining up? Are you lining up with the powers that be? Are you lining up at the river to pray? It doesn't matter where you're lining up, what line it is, God is in all of the lines. God is with all of the people. This is where God chooses to be, standing with you and with me. God is delighted to dwell in us. I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer. I invite you to turn your attention inward. I invite you to find the place where God dwells. And I invite you to know, to remember, to claim that you are a beloved child of God. There is nothing you can do that can separate you from the love of God. God loves you. God knows you. God knows you and loves you exactly for who you are. You are enough. And so I invite us to pray. There are words printed in our bulletin, and we can share them together. We can say them as you feel comfortable. We can pray together saying, we know what it is like to be singed by the flames of our lives, Holy God. We look for ourselves in all the wrong places. Success, power, adulation. We carve our names in the granite walls of work, hoping we will be remembered when we are gone. We have gone through the waters of baptism, but live as if they have not changed us. We need to hear your sure word. Do not fear. Shape our lives, O God. Our failures do not come. Your name is carved, not, this one hit me a little hard when I was reading it today. Your name is carved not in the walls of this church, but in the palms of God's hands. God knows you and God loves you, just as you are. And we can claim the love and the power of God in our lives. Sometimes when we pause like this and gather in places like this, and remember that we are all children of God, we are a family. And we can pray to our common parent. We can pray like Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
But I would hope, especially on a day like today,
and especially in a world like ours, that you would remember your baptism. And you can do this every day. In fact, one of our beloved prophets in the faith, Martin Luther, remembered his baptism every moment of every day. When the going got rough, and I imagine the going got rough for Martin Luther in a lot of times and places, when the going got rough, Martin Luther would put his hand like this, take your fingers, and he would touch his forehead like this. This is the place where you get baptized. Go ahead. I see some of you doing it, some of you not doing it. That's okay. I'm not going to call you out, but I can see you. That's all I'm going to say. You can put your fingers on your forehead like this. Some people call this the place of the seat of intuition. Some people call this your third eye. We call this the place where you get baptized. Christians call this the place where you get baptized, and that is a powerful spot because your body is marked by the love of God. Your body will get marked in a lot of ways over the course of your life, I have no doubt. But you are marked indelibly by the power of God at this spot. This is the place when you die that I touch you so that your body, which is left, continues the marking of the love of God beyond your life, but certainly through your life. So when the going gets rough, you can put your fingers like this and you can say, I am a baptized Christian. Go ahead, try that. And if that's not enough, you can do it again. Oh boy, I'm a baptized Christian. If that's not enough, you can do it again. Until you remember, and you feel the power of God in your life. I know that it feels like a symbol, but this sacrament stuff is not a symbol. This is actual water. And you get wet. Ooh, thank you. Because this is a symbol and it has power. And you can use it at any moment. Every moment is an opportunity to breathe in the power and the love of God. But this is not a symbol. This is water. And when you get baptized, you get wet. So when you remember your baptism, thankful.
Remember your baptism.
be the presence of God, to be the body of Christ in this world. Will you? Will you pass the Christ, the peace of Christ?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
begotten one who makes you free, you will be free indeed. And from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, he is here now with authorization from the chief priest to arrest. Oh, is that chapter 9? Ooh, I thought that didn't make sense. This is chapter 8. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down to these people and prayed that they would receive the Holy Spirit. She had not yet come down upon any of them, since they had only been baptized in the name of Jesus. Upon arriving, the pair laid hands on the Samaritans, and they received the Holy Spirit. And this is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, 15 through 17, 21 through 20, 21 and 22. The people were full of anticipation, wondering in their hearts whether John might be the Messiah. John answered them all by saying, "I am baptizing you in water, but someone is coming who is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not fit to untie. A winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff will be burnt in unquenchable fire." When all the people were baptized, Jesus also came to be baptized. And while Jesus was praying, the skies opened and the Holy Spirit descended on the Messiah, the Anointed One, in visible form, like a dove. A voice from heaven said, "You are my own, my beloved. On you my favor rests."
Bird sings of freedom. For Maya Angelou, those that don't know. Say a prayer with me. God, I give you thanks for today. I give you thanks for the opportunity of standing here at Hope Church, a place that holds such a place, such a sweet place in my heart for all the work and effort it does for United Campus Ministry. You have been with me this week as I thought and prayed about the words that I would say, and now as I stand in front of your church, I pray that you are with me still. Amen. Today, as we have heard again and again, it is the baptism of our Lord Sunday, and it is indeed. What a delightful way to start the morning, remembering my baptism all over again like that. I love it. I bring you peace and blessings from just across the way at UMD, where I have been the campus minister for just about 6 months. So I'm a newbie, and many of you know my partner who served in this capacity for the past 10 years, so got some big shoes to fill. I thank you so much for your generous hospitality that you have offered to United Campus Ministry again and again and again. For I think most of you know that we are here at UMC, down in your basement, in your kitchen, using your stuff almost every Monday, where we serve dinner for a dollar. This church actually cooks dinner, I think, several times a year. So thank you for your space, for your time, for your volunteerism, and for your heart that reaches out to our college students. Also in the fall, we made a big mess in our 50-cent sale, and I thank you for allowing us to make that mess and for bearing with us. It took so long this year to get rid of it, and that was on me. Just apologize. But again, give you thanks. I recently met with a student. Her name is Sally. And she told me that since she has been involved with campus ministry, her heart has been changed, and she has gotten closer to God. She announced that she wanted to be baptized. And I was so excited by her proclamation that I almost forgot to ask her if she had been baptized already. But I did. I got there. So, Sally, have you been baptized before? Were you baptized as an infant? I know you kind of grew up in the church and had some stakeholders. Yeah. I grew up in the church and I was baptized, but that was when I was a baby. I really didn't know what I was doing. I had no say, and therefore, it didn't count. Well, you heard your preacher. She already preached my sermon almost this morning. It did count. How many of you were baptized as an infant? Raise your hands with you. Yeah, look around. Lots of us were baptized as a baby. That's what I thought. I told Sally, and I'll tell you again, that it counted. God got it right the first time. And you don't have to do it again. That day is the day that your family wanted you to become a part of not only their family, but as a family of God, of the family of God. And as you were baptized, God, with God's arms stretched open wide, welcomed you and claimed you. That can't be undone. Baptism is a promise from God that God, through the Holy Spirit, will always be at work in your life. So let me say again, what has been done cannot be undone. In Philippians it says, he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus. It began that day, and that work is still continuing. What happens after that day, though? That's up to you, right? You are claimed to be a part of the family of God that day. And after that, what do you do with it? Now what? For many of us, we don't have the privilege of experiencing baptism in the way that feels life-changing, that feels new and different. The heavens, I imagine, did not open for you that day that you were baptized. And you didn't see the Spirit of God descending on you as a dove. You didn't hear that booming voice. grow up in a Christian home. I didn't even hear the word God. I had no idea what that word G-O-D meant. I didn't until I was about 10 years old. Remember, I was at the funeral of my grandma, and I was crying and I was sad. And someone came and told me, "Don't worry, you will see your grandma again in heaven. She's with God now." The only thing I can think of is whoever God was, I was kind of pissed at God because I wanted my grandma. Well, I got into some trouble with the law early in my adolescence, and some of you that know me, that might not be as a surprise. I'm good now, I'm good, I promise. But at that time, I was sent to a juvenile jail. And it was there in juvie that this sweet lady, whom we named Mama Gastineau, she came to visit me day after day, long after any of my friends stopped to visit me. Even my parents were like, "Nah, she's gone, she's in jail, whatever." Mama Gastineau came every week, 2-3 times a week. And when she came, she told me that she loved me. She told me that she loved me, and I told her, "What the heck? How can you say you love me? You don't even know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I did to get here. You don't know what I'm thinking about doing. And yet you say that you love me." She said she loves me because God inside her loves me. And it is through God that that love can happen. And not only did she love me, that someone much greater than her, God, God's self, loved me as well. I didn't really understand all that and what that meant, but she kept coming, and more than any other person in my life, she showed through demonstration that God was there, and that God loved me, and that God was real. So much so that when I got out to juvie, I went to live with Mama Gastineau for a little while, first of all. She came from the Baptist tradition, and so it was that I decided to be baptized. So I don't know if you know what Baptist tradition, but that meant I was taken and dunked and came back up. And while I didn't see the heavens part and there was no dove, oh my gosh, did my life change that day. I was drenched. I was scared. I was nervous. But when I came up, the tears and the water, that holy lake water that was all over me, changed me that day. It changed me. That day, August 2nd, 1982, I have a day and I have a time. I learned that day what God was, who God was, and what baptism meant. And it meant that I was welcomed into God's family. God's amazing, big, inclusive family. God was to become my father. God was to become my mother. God became my blanket when I needed to be held. God became my rock when I needed something strong to hold on to. God became my friend when I needed to cry. God became my brother and my sister who listened to me when I needed to talk. God became mercy when I messed up time and time again. God became all of that for me through my baptism. That day, I was claimed. During that time, my young adult life, 13, 14 years old, I was so excited. Everybody about God, and I was amazed that they were not always so receptive to hear the good news that I had to share, because I was unabashedly changed. "God loves you, God loves you, God loves you," I would tell everybody. I was a proud member of the Christian church and a proud child of God. I remember my friends then, and I often think college students now, but I experience it, college students now, telling me that living a life for God is not much more than following a bunch of rules, losing one's freedom to religion. Someone told me once that being in the church and following all those rules felt like they were trapped in a cage, always feeling guilty for one thing or another. argue a much different perspective. Who the Son sets free is free indeed, we heard this morning. In baptism, we become new. We become members of the Christian church. And as a part of that Christian family, we are called to continually accept, affirm, and live into what it means to be family, this family of God. It means that we are beloved children, yes, that we are beloved community, for sure. But in such, and because of such, we are to follow in Christ's example. We are to stand always on the side of those who have been oppressed, to stand in line, as Sarah said. Those people who often feel like their wings are clipped, those people that often feel like their feet have been tied, to stand beside our neighbors and to love them and to help them carry their load, no matter who that neighbor is, no matter what color, no matter their sexual orientation, no matter their lifestyle, no matter their socioeconomic status, to stand beside our neighbor and to help them carry their load. We live into that baptism promise by being the hands and feet of God. And friends, in doing that, there is freedom like no other. When you are feeling caged and trapped, remember your baptism. Remember how you are beloved. Remember how you are called, and then live out that calling. The doing part is the part after the baptism. As Sarah mentioned, Martin Luther was the one who started the Protestant Reformation, right? He had a strong emphasis during his career on baptism. And he would wash his face every morning when he would wash his face, I have read. He looked in the mirror and said, "Remember, you are baptized." In fact, if he was discouraged or afraid or nervous, sometimes he would just go and turn on the tap water and just, "Remember, you were baptized. Remember, you are baptized. If you remember nothing else, remember that by baptism, you are a child of God." Today, when I came in, I lit a candle. Some of you might have seen it. It's right up here. It went out now. But that candle, precious to me, I did not get it at my baptism, because as I told you, I was dunked. I did not get that little candle some of you get when you're in heaven. But I got that when I was in seminary 12 years ago. And when I got it, my professor gave it to me and looked at me and said, "Remember whose you are." And every time you write a sermon, light that candle. And as you are praying, as you are writing, know in confidence who you are. So this week, I lit it many times. Not surprised. Earlier in the service, you had a minute, right, to remember that you were baptized. And although a fun, delightful time in Pastor Sarah's so silly throwing water over us, and maybe you didn't take it so seriously, but your baptism is serious. That call that you have on your life is a serious one. That welcome from God is a deep one. And so this week, as you go forward, pray that reaffirmation of your baptism. I remember I'm baptized, and I thank you for that, God. And for some of you, you come to church every Sunday, but the doing part and the living out your faith might be a little lacking. So maybe for some of you, it's not necessarily so much remembering, but a reaffirming, a recommitment to this family of God that you belong to. Maybe you want to say that prayer. "I reaffirm, I recommit my life to you, God. And this water that I put on my head today, I will follow you, and always I will stand by those that need to be stood by, those marginalized. I will stand in line," right? And there may be some of you that haven't been baptized. And wow, what a day to be here again. That's one of her favorite things to do as a pastor. She would love to spend that time with you and to baptize you. And so today, even though the heavens didn't open for you that day, I will. Imagine me being the face of God for you today. And I open my arms to you. And I say, you are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. And in you, I am well pleased. Amen.
To the campus ministry at UMD. And I invite you to give and receive our morning offering today.
Thank you.
But I choose to rise as you are able in body or in spirit, joined to bless our giving and our time together. We say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's one of my favorite hymns.
Concerns, Art's brother Paul is going through a lot of tests for some medical issues, and they have not yet come up with a diagnosis of anything. So prayers that they find something that can be taken care of. And also Barb Bergman is not here today because she's back in the hospital, but they expect her to be released today. So prayers for Pete and Barb as well. Okay, now my announcement. I'm updating bulletin boards. And I would like everybody at your leisure, I've got paper, I'll leave it out on the table. Do a handprint, and in the fingers write, what's your ancestry? Mine's German, Swede, and Norwegian. And just put your name on it. We're gonna build a world to let everybody know we are the world together, no matter where we came from. We are all inclusive in this world. So I'll leave paper out there, and you don't have to cut it out. Just do your handprint, write some things, and I'll cut it out and add it to the board. I'd appreciate that.
Last week, Pete, after the service, had discussed the stewardship campaign. He was going to be available again today, but clearly he's with Barb. So I will be available after the postlude. If you have any questions, I'll linger here in the sanctuary. Be happy to answer any questions you might have on stewardship. Thank you.
SBRC in the Matheson room after worship.
A former member, George Aron, passed away yesterday. Prayers for Thanksgiving that Jamie Kloss is back alive, and prayers for the family of Larry Watzak, the man from Park Point who died after being attacked in his home.
Yeah. And prayer for all the government workers who are going without paychecks.
I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer, and I invite you to sing When Jesus Came to Jordan. I invite you to rise as you're able, in body or in spirit. Love and serve God and one another.